like good singing all the way around. I told y'all that Miss April was going to sing. Well done, well done. That's a good deal all the way around. I don't care where you are. I got it on, I guess, huh? Yes, thank you. Sometimes I can't tell if I do or don't or not, and I've got people helping me with it, but still I fail them miserably. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Mark, Mark chapter number 5. You'll find the place over there. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. And it's good to see you tonight. We're glad you're here. And it's good to be able to enjoy the songs of Zion and to hear about the Lord and to sing about Him. And over there in the book of Mark, chapter number 5, if you'll find that place that's there, if you're able to stand and you're able to do that, well, then we'll begin reading with about verse 18 in that chapter. All right? The Bible says, "And when he was coming to the ship, they that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. And howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and he hath compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in the Decapolis how great things that Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel." Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and how we thank you for the good songs of Zion that we've heard tonight. We've enjoyed not only special music, but been able to sing with the congregation. How we ask you now, you bless the word to every heart that's here. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I'm going to preach a little while tonight, if you will, please, on being afraid of the marks of Christianity. You remember here a while back we preached about this man. He'd spent his life living in the tomb. They tried to tie him with cords. They couldn't bind him. They tried to bind him with this and that, and they just couldn't do it. He'd always break everything asunder. And let me say to you that, if you will, that whenever he would do that, he terrorized that whole community where he was. They could see him there cutting himself and screaming all day and night. And there was a man with no clothes, no home, no place, living in the graveyard, living among the tombs. And let me say to you that one day Jesus is going to go ahead and fix this matter. And let me tell you, Jesus is the only answer for the devil plaguing your heart, my heart, or anybody else's heart. Let me say to you that, if you will, please, is that the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll find that he's the only one. Over there in Matthew 23, do not turn there. But in verse 37 down through verse number 38, Jesus said, "How often would I have gathered thee as a hen or gather her brood, and you would not?" You know, the reason if you're not saved tonight is because you would not come to Christ. God's been knocking on your heart's door. He's been drawing you. He's been wanting to do something to change you for better. And yet it'll be up to you, whenever God comes knocking, to either open up and let him in and receive him in the free pardon of sin. I begin to think about that Jesus, when he told that crowd that, there's a certain amount of people in this world that just do not, they just will not, they just do not want the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, "What else you got?" That's it. Friend, if you don't come God's way, and you'll spend eternity in a place called hell, the bottomless pit, the lake of fire, where the worm never dies and the fires never quench. Not because he doesn't love you, but because you received not the love of the truth that you might be saved. In this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find this man that one day that was terrorizing the whole town, the community where he lived. They were scared to death of him. And yet when Jesus cast the devil out of him, he walked up there that day, and here's what those demons said. And they cried with a loud, verse 7, they cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, thou torment me not." I want to say to you that, if you will, the devil knows exactly who Jesus is. He's the Son of the Most High God. The Jehovah's Witness don't even know that. They deny him being God incarnate in human flesh. They deny him being anything but just a good man. They even deny the validity of the fact that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John chapter number 1. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out that whenever Jesus cast the devil out of this man, it scared the people round about. They were scared to death of the marks of Christianity. I want to say that when you begin to look there in that lesson that's there, isn't that the kind of the way that it is? In fact, look in what we just got through read in verse 17 of our text. "And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. You know who they were? I'll tell you why. They were afraid because this man no longer was naked. This man that had been possessed with the devil, verse 15, he was sitting down at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And notice, and they were afraid. They're afraid of what Jesus has done to change their life. I remember whenever I got saved, some of my family are scared to me, death to me yet. Some of them have died, literally. Not because of that, but I'm talking about, and I hope they died better than they lived, and I hope they finally trusted the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hey, did you realize to know that you could cross every T, dot every I, that you could be the most fine, upstanding, clean person on the face of this earth, and if you died without the Lord, you'd bust hell wide open? There's none good, no, not one, the Bible said in the book of Romans. There's none that seeketh after God, no, not one. You better be waiting for God to come knocking on your heart and God to be seeking after you. Now, let me say to you that if you will, please, that only the Lord Jesus Christ can free you from the devil, free you from the bondage of sin, free you from Satan, if you please. And let me tell you something, the devil and disease and death is no match for the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me say to you, when people see the change that God made in this man's life, that town was scared to death of the man now that they used to be afraid of because of their lives. Now they're afraid because that they're lacking something. And let me tell you something, they wanted Jesus to get out of their coast. They wanted this man to leave their coast. And as a result of that, you'll find that that's the way it is in the day and hour we're living in. I remember years ago whenever I was but a young lad and not many moons after I'd surrendered to preach and this and that. And you'd find this, that every now and again, you'd hear somebody like we do, they'll say amen. They'd say amen every now and again. I don't have to have an amen, but every now and again, somebody, that's right, preacher, amen, you telling it right, and so forth and on. And as a result, in the day we live in, the average Baptist church is deader than 10 o'clock. And when you finally get into one and somebody says amen, is that, you know, you hate to say amen because it draws attention to you, and people sometime, an old gal will look around at you like, why are you saying amen for? You know, there was one preacher went, and he said, come on now, y'all amen, say amen. He got them to go. They were going pretty good, and some old sour-faced gal that was in there, an old woman, looked around, you know, and she finally said, preacher, we don't do that here. He said, well, it sounded to me like they were doing pretty good. They were just amen in the word of the Lord and the things of God and how good God had been to them and the matter that God would save your soul and snatch you as a brand from the burning. And she says, well, they might have been, but they're just doing it because you told them to. We just don't do that here. I got to tell you right now, she's not going to last very long, is she? And the reason being is because she was afraid at what people were saying, that God had delivered them from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of Satan. And boy, she was afraid of the marks of Christianity. Paul the Apostle over in Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 17, he said, I bear in my body the marks of Christ, or the marks of Christianity. And I want to tell you something, if you're a child of God, people can see it, people can tell it, people can hear it. There's a difference between just being religious and being made whole and washed by the blood of the Lamb. Now, let me tell you what this man did. He wanted to go with Jesus wherever Jesus was. That's what we read in verse 18. That's one of the evidences of being born again. I want to be around the Lord Jesus. I want to be around people that believe God, that believe the Bible. I want to be around people that can't even walk without even holding his hand. I want to be around that kind of people. And let me tell you something. Is that a saved man wants to be with Jesus. He prayed him, Lord, let me go with you. And howbeit the Lord let him not go. He told him, no, here's what I want you to do. I want you to depart and go to your own house. You know what is a saved man's commission to be able to tell others. Verse 19, there at your home, talking about your family. You know, when I got saved, is that it wasn't a secret. I mean, it's not like that here now, 50 years plus later, that I'm going to be just saying to my family, hey, I've got a secret. Guess what it is? No. Now, when I got saved, buddy, I began to talk to them about being saved. I began to tell. I remember one time, because I've always been a good young man. Mama used to pet me on my head. You're a good boy, Dennis, and I got to believe in it. But the day I got saved, I saw myself as an empty-handed beggar, lost, undone, without God. God began to grant me faith. God gave me repentance. And let me tell you something. The day I got saved, I saw myself as the most vile sinner that needed to be snatched as a brand from the burning. In this lesson here that we're looking at, you'll find is that God said, I want you to go home and tell your family. I want you to go around and tell your friends. See, when you're a child of God, it's better felt than telt, and it's good to tell it and tell what Jesus did for you. And you can't keep that a secret. Of course, every now and again now, you know, I don't know if you ever noticed it or not, I've got a pretty big voice. I can't hear good, so it's good that I can talk loud so I can tell what I'm saying. But here's what I'm trying to say to you, is that it gives me away. I can't tell you in 50 years how many people have said, you're a preacher, aren't you? You're a preacher, aren't you? And what would worry me if they said that is about my wife. But they say it about me every now and again. You're a preacher, aren't you? Well, yeah, I'm what's left of one. I could tell by the way that you were speaking. I'm glad I wasn't like that preacher, you know, that drove up to that chicken place, got a box of chicken and this and that. And of course, you know, whenever he got his order, he went out there and he sat down in the car and he opened it up and it was full of money. And my word, I'm telling you the truth, he closed it back down. And he went back up there and he said, I don't think this is my order. And the lady looked at it and she said, oh, my word. That's our deposit, and we'd be short-handed, and we'd be in the hole. And, oh, my, mister, what an honest man you are. We certainly want to thank you. Are you a preacher or anything? And he hung his head, and as a result, she said, let me get your name. I want to publicize. And he said, no, don't do that. That woman's not my wife that's in the car with me. See what I'm talking about? I'm going to tell you something, is that this is a man here that was the real deal. He is washed by the blood, born into the family of God, clothed with God's righteousness. And let me tell you something, that's a robe that God has to put on you himself. And as a result of that, Jesus said, no, I want you to not go with me. I want you to go see your family, tell your family, tell your friends, tell acquaintances up and down the road of life. I want to tell you something, is that if you're a child of God, you can't help but tell people that you know about him. I begin to think about, you know, as you're looking at him, he said, tell him how great things that he's done for you. And I want to tell you right now, before I ever got saved, you know, I'd led a song or two in church. I had taught a Sunday school class every now and again, filling it. I'd have done a lot of things and so forth and on. But let me tell you, the day I got washed by the blood, born into the family of God, I wasn't just doing a few things. I'm a child of a king. And thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I want to tell you how great things the Lord had done. He saved me from darkness unto light, from death unto life, and gave me everlasting life. Now, here's what God had done for this man. First of all, he called him. You're sitting here tonight, and as we think about it in this congregation, remember when God came knocking on your heart's door, and he calls you into the family? Remember that? Can you remember when God, like this man, began to converse with him? Began to talk to him about his need and about what he had. Can you remember when God convicted your heart like he did this man? Can you remember when God converted your soul like he did this man and made an inward and an outward change that others could see? Can you remember when God clothed you with that robe of righteousness? Can you remember when God changed your life? Like you did. And can you remember when God commissioned you and wanted you to go and to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ? In verse number 20, the Bible said that he had a testimony that whenever he did depart and begin to publish it in Decapolis, how great things that Jesus had done for them, that it made all men to marvel. I remember when I got saved. Of course, naturally, whenever you get saved, you want to tell others about being saved and hoping somehow or another that they'll inquire more about it, that God will finally get a hold of their heart. And I told them, hey, listen, I got saved. Oh, Dennis, I can't believe you're not saved. I couldn't believe you had never been saved. As good a young man as you are, I said, well, I was as lost and undone as I could be. And I got washed by the blood, born into the family of God. I got to say to you that it made a lot of people marvel. A lot of people have marveled about you as well. They no doubt about that. Some of them sitting around and they're thinking, you know, somehow or another, you're absolutely, you know, just you're good enough already. No, there's none good, no, not one. There's none to see you've God, no, not one. Let me tell you something, the righteousness of God can be had only by grace through faith, plus nothing or minus nothing in a person, and his name's the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It just makes you want to tell people. There's a friend of mine that's in heaven tonight. He was a preacher, and I don't know how long he was that he pastored the church, but he was a man over there in Pascagoula, Mississippi. His name was Leroy. He said, I don't know what my parents were thinking whenever they named me Leroy, but he said, Leroy Wright. But he said, I can tell you this, I've always been right. I was right when I was born, I'm right now. I've always been right. And he said, I went to one of these Bible conference things the other day. He said, in fact is, I was wanting to be able to learn how to be a better soul winner, if that's the way you want to put it. And anyhow, he said, I wanted to. And he said, I went there, and he said, they got me all pumped up. They got me so excited, I just wanted to go back home and start telling people about Jesus all over again, like I did when I first got saved. And he said, I looked at my watch, and man, it was 5 o'clock in the morning. I was pacing the floor, and I wanted to go so badly, and I was just anxious to get up and get out. And he said, finally, you know, man, by 7:30, he said, I couldn't take it no more. And I went out there, and I knocked on the door. I kept beating on the door, and finally here comes a woman to the door in her bedclothes and her hair done up, and she's looking with sleep in her eyes. And he said, before I could ask her if she died today, would she go to hell, she told me to. He might ought to rephrase it. If you died today, would you go to heaven? You might not want to go at 7:30 in the morning, though. But the whole idea is. Here's a man. When God saved his soul, he made no difference in him as he did you and I. And I can tell you right now is that when we got washed by the blood, born into the family of God, trusted Jesus in the free pardon of sin, it made others around us marvel when they heard our testimony. There's some people right now that just can't believe it in your behalf. They're thinking, oh, they won't last long, they'll fizzle out. I've seen too many people start out and fizzle out. Let me tell you something, if what you've got's the real deal, 100 years from now, if you're still alive, whether your mind's good or not, you won't be fizzled out. There's too many Alka-Seltzer Baptists. It's just plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. And then they're going back into the ways of the world. Let me tell you, when God gives you somebody to live on the inside of you, to direct you the rest of your life, there'll be a difference that's been made between just being religious and made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Our Father, I want to say thank you for all you've done and all you're doing for saving our souls. There may be somebody here tonight who has yet not trusted Jesus in the free pardon of sin. May you trouble them in their heart and give them repentance and faith until they trust the Lord and Savior in the free pardon of sin. Now go with us to our homes and watch over us this week. We'll say thank you for loving us even while we've been unloved.